Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lycoparl Valley Coaches Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report once again. As usual, Paul Ramo at the a brand new control panel. Yep. How about that after burning out by lightning in the storm? So it looks pretty nice and shiny there, Paul, and he's learning how to work it, and I'm sure he does a great job. So start things off talking boys golf with Barry. The season, regular season now is complete, but before that, you first off had the conference tournament on earlier in the week, I think Tuesday maybe, and then later on in the week finished out your conference. So fire away there, Barry. Some good results. Your team is really improving.
Yeah, thank you. We played Monday down in Marshall, the conference tournament. Great conditions down there. Course was in great shape. Pretty dry considering all the rain they'd had. A couple of the spots that were wet were kind of off the beaten path a little bit. So if you found those, you had been a little wayward. But the course was in great shape. Greens were great. And we had our best day of the year as far as scoring. We shot 349 for 18 holes, placing third in the tournament out of 12 teams behind Lakeview. First place Lakeview shot an impressive 319 there. The season team champions for the Camden Conference. Second was Minneota. We were six behind them. They were 343. Behind us in fourth was Dawson Boyd, 352. Community Christian at 371. RCW, 382. Central Minnesota Christian, 383. RTR, 383. YME, 394. Canby, 396. And McRae, 411. And then TMB was incomplete. Individually, we had some great scores individually. We were led by Carson Bessman, shot 82, played six for the day, and then for the season, I use top three in the conference overall for the season, earning all conference honors. Will Gies came through with a career low 84. He placed eighth for the day, and Will also earned all conference honors, which is pretty impressive considering Will's only played golf for a couple of years. So, congratulations to him on that honor, and obviously played very well that day. Then we went to Charlie Alstead, another low for him. He tied for 17th with an 89. Great day for Charlie. Caden Stender shot 94, placed 30th. That was a low for him. JT Alstead also had a low. He shot 95 for 32nd place. And then we were rounded out with Lucas Vosick with a 101, which was good for 42nd place in the tournament. So overall, we said we had some guys that shot some career bests, for competition, and ended up with a great result coming in third with a 349, and just a great way to finish the conference season. And a lot of very happy kids and very motivated with the sections coming up here. Thursday we went over to YME for they just had a little quadrangular, invited a few teams over just to, again, I think everyone would get a chance to play a little bit before the section. So it was us, YME, Minneota, and McRae. Minneota ended up winning the event. I'm trying to find that here. Give me a second. Minneota won the event. We were second. YME was third. And then McRae was fourth to round out the field. I know both YME and McRae were missing a couple of kids with they were also playing baseball. And they were playing some baseball games that day. So, but we were able to come in second. We'll get our team score here. With a 176, Minneota was 159, a good score for them. YME was 204 in wet conditions. Now the course still had a lot of water on it from the rains this last week. Individually, we were able to play some extra kids. We were able to take nine kids over and play, get some other guys an extra chance to play, and let some of our seniors play again. We led Carson Bessonen, shot 41. JT Alstead continued his great play with a 44. Caden Stender shot 45. Will Gies shot 46. Lucas Vasek shot 48. Charlie Alstead's 51. Landon Kranz, 52. Braden Kranz, 55. And then Hayden Kranz was 76 to round out our team for the day. So it was nice to bring some other guys and let them play and round out their season as well as that is concluded, and we conclude our regular season with that event.
So that concludes your regular season, but then the section is a two-week individual deal starting next Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, our section tournament starts on Wednesday morning, I think 9 o'clock start over at Eagle Creek in Wilmer. Haven't seen the tee times and the pairings yet, but the tournament starts at 9 o'clock. There's a cut after the first day, and the top four teams plus a number of individuals not on those teams will advance to play the second day, which is Wednesday, June 1st, also at Eagle Creek. So there's a week-long gap in there between the two dates. So we get going with that on Wednesday. We were over at Eagle Creek once. It's pretty good shape. We're going to go over actually today and practice and spend some time over there and get ourselves ready for next Wednesday.
I'm sure you know the teams from the north of the section, but how about the south?
Well, our section changed a little bit this year, but the high school league redid some things. So basically our section is kind of an east to west. We're the furthest west. It doesn't really deviate very far to the north or south. We lost Ortonville and Border West on the north, and Canby and Lakeview on the south all left the section. But we brought in Community Christian, Bold, and Buffalo Lake Hector. So we go basically from here all the way over to the Buffalo Lake Hector in kind of a sliver of the state with Benson BB in there, and then of course a number of our conference teams with CCS, CMCS, Dawson Boyd, RCW, McRae, YME being in there as well. So that I think it's about 11 teams roughly. Well, they're 2A, we're 1A, so we don't even compete with some of those. They're in class 2A, so we had a couple leave and got a couple new ones in, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
All right, Barry, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Wednesday. We'll hear all about the first day of results in boys section golf next Saturday morning.
All right, thank you.
Barry Bessonen on boys golf. We'll get on the phone and talk to Kip Stender about the girls' side after this.
For all your insurance needs, it's the La Caparra Mutual Insurance Company, Strand Agency. La Caparra Mutual Insurance Company was organized in 1885 and is owned by the people it serves. If you need a quote for your farm, auto, business, or home, contact the La Caparra Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency. They're located on Main Street, Dawson. Talk with Peter or Vicki Strand. La Caparra Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency.
Hey Claire, guess what?
What, Peyton?
It's almost summer, you know what that means.
It's time for the Stampede to Fun.
Sure is, I love the Stampede to Fun. It's at La Caparra Fairgrounds in Madison on Wednesday, May 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. And it's completely free.
I love going to the Stampede to Fun. I wonder what things they will have there this year.
This year they will have yard games, lots of yard games.
Yard games? That sounds so fun.
There will also be fire trucks, tractors, a bike rodeo, and so much more.
That sounds fun, but I wonder what they will have to eat.
They will have pulled turkey sandwiches, hot dogs, nachos, rip your floats, and cotton candy.
Awesome. I love cotton candy.
Well, let's make sure to go.
For sure. I'll tell all my friends.
Can't wait.
Wait, what if it rains?
Better bring an umbrella, because this event is held in rain or shine.
See you on Wednesday, May 25th at La Caparra Fairgrounds from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Stampede to Fun.
Thrifty White Pharmacy is now offering a fourth dose of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines to people age 50 and older who received their previous booster at least 4 months ago. To schedule your fourth dose at your local Thrifty White Pharmacy, go to thriftywhite.com. Need a COVID-19 at-home test kit? We have them in stock. Want them delivered right to your door? Order test kits at theonlinedrugstore.com. Thrifty White Pharmacy is committed to the communities we serve.
The Allen C. Olson Estate Auction of Farm Machinery, Household, Collectible Items will be on Saturday, May 21st, 11 a.m. located from Canby, 5 miles north on County Road 13, 4.5 miles west on County 4. From Gary, 4 miles east on County Road 4. Auctioneers Eugene Lorenzen and Nathan Chaden say this is a very nice sale, exceptional, well-kept, clean items, so don't miss it. There'll be a couple of Harley-Davidson motorcycles for sale, a 2007 and a 1996. There'll be trailers, tractors, and farm equipment, Snap-on tool chest and tools, shop tools, miscellaneous items, household antiques and collectibles, handicap equipment, including a Bruno wheelchair lift for a pickup and a handicap lift for a tractor. Again, this is the Alan C. Olson Estate Auction, and it's happening Saturday, May 21st, 11 a.m., from Canby, Minnesota, 5 miles north on County 13, 4.5 miles west on County Road 4. Lorenzen Auctions handling this sale. Lunch will be available on the grounds. For more information, you can contact Eugene Lorenzen at 605-237-4844.
Back here at the Culture Show, talking now girls golf with Kip Stender. And Kip, you're down in the metropolitan area, day two of a tournament at Bunker Hills in a northern suburb of Minneapolis, St. Paul. But first off, we'll talk about the conference meet on Monday, and then you went to Granite Falls for a Yellow Medicine invite, kind of a warm-up before the section, and then the section starts day one next Wednesday. So let's hear all about it, Kip.
All right, thanks, Dick. Yeah, we had the conference tournament on Monday. Black Paro, we finished first with a 364. Community Christian was second with a 436, followed by McCray, 449. Russell Tyler Ruthen, 465, and Camby with a 477. Individual-wise, the medalist on the day was Lindsay Lund from Dawson. She shot a, it's coming up here, a 83. Sarah Halverson at an 84. Alyssa Sadinsky an 87. Caitlin Kittleson a 91. Isabella Jacobs, 92 for us. Molly Halverson a 97. Grace Vosick had a 104, and Kate Alstead a 114. And so, as a team, I was very pleased with our round. I know a couple of the girls didn't feel they golfed their best, and they didn't. But we look at last year; we were 10 strokes better. So they did a nice job fighting through some different things, and so that concluded our conference season. We ended up with all. I believe it's 14 points or how many, whatever the points are, 24 points, I guess. There's 12 for the nine-hole events and then another 12 for the conference tournament. So they've won that for 7 years now in a row, so it's been a nice build-up for our section and a nice goal that they have every year is to repeat as champions. Making all-conference, we had four girls make all-conference. Sarah Halverson, Isabella Jacobs, Caitlin Kittleson, and Molly Halverson. And Sarah was the conference MVP, and that's based on the scoring average for the whole conference season. So that concluded a very nice conference season for us. We consider conference kind of postseason in our schedule and leading up to our sections next Wednesday. We took our JV to Granite Falls on Thursday. The varsity left right after school to come down here for the Tri-State Invitational at Bunker Hills, hosted by Chan Hessen. And we were invited to that tournament a few years ago. Finally, we were able to make that happen. But at YME, McCray girls finished with a 209, and the Lacaparo girls finished with a 273. Individualized for the Eagles, we were led by Carly Kranz with a 61, Peyton Sack 65, Lindsay Lovickson a 73, Macy Zarbuck a 74, and Kaylee Rios 86. And so that was a good opportunity for the JV girls to get some varsity experience and go there and represent the Eagles at Granite Falls. That brings us to yesterday, the Tri-State Tournament. David Kaltoff's the coach's name. He's a pro down at down in the cities here. He coaches the Chanhassen girls team. They won the AAA a couple times, I think, in the last 3-4 years. And so he saw us out at Dakota Ridge for the Marshall invite a few years back, and just was impressed with our team and the girls and how young they were and where they were at. And so he invited us down there. We're the only Class A team in the tournament. There are two Class 2A teams, and the rest are AAA. Some really good golfing. Alexandria is leading the tournament with a, they're 32 over at this point. Detroit Lakes is second with a 39 over, tied with Eastview. Chanhassen's in fourth place, 53 over. And then I think we're in about 12th place. We're 82 over. Within 10 strokes of fifth, sixth place. So if we can improve on yesterday, I think the girls, you know, they've never golfed the course before. We were able to just chip and putt, weren't able to get into any, they only have one practice bunker down here, and you have to have a practice membership to use it. So, and they don't call it Bunker Hills for not having any bunkers. There's like 85 bunkers on the course. So the girls did pretty well getting out of them. I was really impressed with our score for never having seen the golf course or played it before. They did well, and I think they'll do better today, and the nerves will be a little better too. And so individual wise, I know Alexandria's got a girl, or no, Chanhassen has the leading girl. I think she's 3 under. I'm bringing it up here.
3 under. Wow.
Okay, I got to hit the change button. I got it to the individual part. yeah, Maddie Hicks, she's 3 under. Hannah Boris from Alexandria is 3 over in second. And then in third place, 4 over, is three gals. Kennedy Brom from Eastfield, Carolyn Monty from Stillwater, and Kylie Hansen, a seventh grader from Minnetonka. So,
seventh grader.
And we've got, I think it might be easier for me to, trying to scroll down here. So Isabella's leading us, Bella Jacobs. She's in 23rd place. She's 13 over. Sarah's in 26th place, 15 over. Down. Caitlin Kittleson's in 61st place, 27 over. Molly, I think's right about the same. I'm looking for our eagle icon, but some of the girls, Molly's 27 over also, yeah. So both her and Caitlin are tied for 61st. They can kind of put their own picture in for on this I Wanna Maker for their next to their name. So when I'm looking for an eagle, sometimes it's a picture of them or a team picture. Grace Fosick and Caitlin, or Kate Alstead, are 86th, 87th with 42 and 43 over. So we'll go there today. Our first tee time, I believe, is 12:28. We'll check out of the hotel here at 11 and head over to Bunkers and go through their routine of getting ready for, you know, this is a preparation tournament for sections.
Sure.
The girls have done a nice job of preparing and being ready to go. So we got to just keep working and keep believing. And with Bowl coming into our section this year, it'll be a competitive section to get to state as it was last year with Dawson. And, you know, I believe they were probably the second best team last year in state. And
okay.
We were fortunate to come out on top there. So
yeah, Barry mentioned the change in the section a little bit. So yeah, you have two or three teams that are right close with you. So yeah, but nice preparation for, like you said, for the section starting on Wednesday. Let's hear about that section a little bit.
Yeah, so, you know, we go over to Eagle Creek. We were able to golf the Invitational there this year, and we went one night after school and got played the front nine after school and hit the practice greens. Eagle Creek's typically pretty fast greens, and you know, but once we get the speed down, the girls do pretty good. And we just got to, you know, stay out of trouble. And there's a couple holes where, like, number five, you know, we call it a par five. It's a par four, but you kind of got to hit a placement shot twice and then get on the green. So, you know, but we played it pretty well there in the practice round. And so they've got a game plan in place and work hard, and they're, you know, chipping and putting becomes more important as we get through the season now, and they've been focusing on that for a majority of the practice time. And then obviously the mental part of it, believing, moving forward when you get a tough hole or two, and never giving up. And, you know, the nice thing about the conference tournament on Monday, Caitlin Kittleson had her personal best that day.
Okay.
And, you know, Isabella and Sarah did not, and so Caitlin's score made up for that. And that really allowed the team to believe that, hey, somebody's going to step up when I'm not not there. So I think all around that was a big day for us to truly understand the team part of it, and that we know that somebody's going to make up for it if we're having a bad day.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning, and we'll hear all about day one of the section. And plus day two of this tournament on the next Culture Show, Kip.
Thank you, Dick.
That's Kip Stender on girls golf. We'll take a break and come back with the other seven spring sports after the top of the hour. And keep that dial tuned to Q92 for more Culture Show after this.
T&D Barnwood Rustics offers interior design services, custom furniture, upholstery and woodworking orders, gift registries, and much more. Did you know that Tom does floor coatings for your business and home? And T&D Barnwood Rustics also has wedding rentals. They're open Thursday and Fridays, 10 to 5. Check out their beautiful website at barnwoodrustics.com. Give them a call at 320-312-2276 or check them out on Facebook. That's T&D Barnwood Rustics, located along Highway 212 in Dawson. Lockparrow Mutual Insurance Company, the Strand Agency, located downtown Dawson, owned by the people they serve and always at your service, would like to salute everyone involved in the beef industry during May Beef Month. They also like to invite farmers and everyone to stop in and check with them for all your insurance needs. They offer complete fire, windstorm, and hail liability, and auto insurance. That's the Lockparrow Mutual Insurance Company, with their office located Main Street, Dawson. The Strand Agency. Call 320-769-4410. That's 320-769-4410. Again, saluting everyone involved in the beef industry during May Beef Month.
Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
Damage assessments in northern Michigan. I'm Pam Husso, Fox News. Severe weather doesn't typically impact the community of Gaylord, but yesterday the small city was hit by a tornado. Tiffany Pollard lives there.
We had thought at first that we were seeing flower petals coming across the parking lot. No, we ended up finding out that was actually hail.
Officials say one person was killed and more than 40 others were hurt. Damage is said to be catastrophic, with vehicles flipped over and businesses destroyed. The governor has declared a state of emergency in Otsego County. A united front between the U.S. and South Korea is on display in Seoul. The two nations have reaffirmed their commitment to counter North Korean aggression. They're also unified in their opposition to the war in Ukraine.
Putin's war against Ukraine isn't just a matter for Europe. It's an attack on democracy and the core international principles of sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Earlier today, President Biden laid a wreath to honor veterans of the Korean War. Relations between the U.S. and Russia have gotten even rockier. The Kremlin has published a full list of Americans that are banned from entering Russia. The list includes President Biden, Secretary of State Antony Blinken, and CIA Chief William Burns. Russia has cut off natural gas supplies to Finland. Moscow is angry over Finland's intent to join NATO. The president of Finland says he spoke with Turkey's leader, who has expressed reservations about NATO expansion. Australia's prime minister is acknowledging defeat. During a speech in Sydney, Scott Morrison said he's congratulated the incoming prime minister, opposition leader Anthony Albanese. Morrison added that he would stand down as leader of the Liberal Party. America's listening to Fox News.
Fox News Podcasts Network. The Fox News Rundown. A contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Going far beyond the headlines. Tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade. And this is the Fox News Rundown.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey, it's Will Kane, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Join me as I share my thoughts on a wide range of topics, from sports and pop culture to politics and business. With the help of newsmakers and personalities, I will provide you my free, unfiltered, uncancelable opinion on the hottest topics in America.
The Will Kane Podcast. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. America is listening to Fox News.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Chance for isolated showers today, otherwise cloudy. High temperatures reach up to 51. Northwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly clear tonight. Chance for isolated showers. Lows around 36. Mainly clear again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 58. Temperatures well below average Monday and Tuesday, with highs from the upper 50s to the low 60s. Showers possible both days. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 51 today. Lows level off around 36 tonight. We should top off around 58 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly on Q92 Country. Right now, 45.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota. Taking a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Long Lake Lutheran Church, rural Appleton, will be having a storm cleanup day today starting at 12:30. If you can come out and help pick up the small pieces of debris which are scattered through the nearby fields, that'd be great. Bring your own lunch. Share some stories. That's at Long Lake Lutheran Church, rural Appleton, today. Birthday open house for Carol Olson will be held today. That'll be going on from 2 to 4 over at Madison Mercantile. Lac Parle County Historical Society is hosting a pancake breakfast on Sunday from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Madison VFW. Takeouts will be available. Enjoy pancakes, sausage, coffee, and juice for a free will donation. The program, which was to be held at the museum after the brunch, is not going to be at the museum due to some water damage out there. They've moved that program to the VFW starting at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon following the brunch. Bellingham United Methodist will have worship at 9:30 in Bellingham at St. Paul's Lutheran Church on Sunday morning. And there will be a congregational meeting on Monday at 7 o'clock also at St. Paul's Lutheran. Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
The Country Butcher downtown Dawson is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Sunday, by appointment. They do slaughtering on Mondays. The Country Butcher says you don't need a boat or fishing rod to catch a keeper. At the Country Butcher, all fish and seafood is 15% off for the remainder of the month of May. Reminder, any gift certificates purchased from the Country Butcher Incorporated, authorized by John or Jill Storlean, must be redeemed by May 31st. They'll be invalid after that date. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
It's 7 minutes after nine.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show.
Going to turn our attention now to boys and girls track, as John Sherb's in the studio. And I guess the season is winding down for everybody, including both track teams. But you did have your conference tournament. Finally had a great day, didn't you, John? And good results.
Yeah, it was good results. We had to move this meet up a little bit earlier. They moved it to a 2 o'clock start instead of a 4 o'clock start, which helped because their facility has some issues that it makes it a little tougher to get through meet a little faster, but they still, it went through and we got through the meet, so it was good that way. We said going in, we thought it was going to be, Camby's girls clearly, and it turned out that way, and the boys thought it was going to be kind of a dog fight on there. And I thought our kids really, really stepped up and ran really well for sitting. We've been off for a week and a half almost without anything, just trying to train and lost some training days with weather. So I thought our kids really, really expanded. We had a lot of kids that were PRs, which is a personal record, or even season best. We really kind of hit marks there because I know they're frustrating. A couple of girls were asking, why are we in the slow heat? And I said, well, that's our best time of the year. I'm not going to lie in our times because I think that looks foolish when you're a coach, when you lie your times and then you go into that race and then you don't even come close to your mark at all. I don't think that's a very good PR work there. So that's why we just said, hey, this is what we ran and let's prove on it. And we did. In a 100-meter dash, Grant Martinson was 14th at 13.11. 200-meter dash, we threw Brayson Boykin there. Just said, let's just see if he can get some points there. Oh, he ran well. He ended up getting third in the 200 there, and that's only his second time running the 200 all season. He's pretty much been just jumping and running when we can get him to run. And he ended up getting third at 24.21. So that was a big boost there for us. Keegan Wick was in the quarter. He ran a personal best in there. He was fourth in there at 56.35. 800-meter run, Justin Perkins was fourth at 2.22. And then Mason Bramer was 8th at 225, and Jordan Perkins was 11th at 226. The mile turned into a really, really marquee race, which is good to see these guys, see some good distance runners out there. Got real tactical, and then the kids with it got the kind of the sprinting ability at the end kind of controlled it, and that changed the level for a lot of the kids. But Peyton Starrood did a nice job there, right on his mark there, right near his personal best. He was four off from that. He was fourth at 4:57.57. Gavin Carl ran a personal best there. He was fifth at 5:02. I know his goal is to break 5 minutes, so he's really, really close to that for his first year out. Then those two boys came back after that and both ran the 2 mile there. Peyton was fourth in 2 mile, 10:51.35. Gavin Carl was 11:07. He was in fifth. So again, just a great mark in there. James Weber was second in the 110 hurdles at 17:53. In the 300 hurdles, James was second again. Just ran everything right, and then once he came off the last turn, clipped a hurdle, and then he was chasing, trying to get back into the race, and he threw a surge to try, almost caught the kid at the end, just ran out of real estate there. He was second, 42. 43.56, which is a personal best for him. Then Ethan Hersham was eighth at 48.84, and that's a personal best for him. And Joseph Felton was 14th at 59.41. 4x1, we didn't put one together. If we would have had probably another meet, then we could have maybe tried one. So we just left our 4x2 together, which we ran earlier in the year, just to see if we can get some points. And the kids really, really did a nice job there. We ended up finishing fourth there, 141.09. That was James Weber, Ethan Hersham, Eli Hagelin, and Keegan Wick. 4x4, end up finishing third, and that was we had three legs set. We just didn't know who the fourth leg was. And I just looked at the two milers and said, who's ever got left, anything left the gas tank is going to anchor the 4x4. And it was nice. Peyton stood up, you know, as a senior, really. He says, hey, I'm gassed, but I'll take it. And so Peyton jumped in there, and we ended up finishing third in there with Mason Bramer, Gavin Carl, Keegan Wick, and then Peyton. And they went 3:55. 4x8, they ended up getting fourth. And that was Mason Bramer, Justin Perkins, Joseph Felton, and Jordan Perkins. They went 9:27-5. And the shot put, Grant Martinson was 33 feet 2. He was 13th. The discus, he was, I got to find him here. There he is. He was 15th at 79 feet. High jump, really turned in a really good high jump event down there, because the Canby kid really is a great kid. He's really, really jumping big time. And it's good to get Brayson in that level and go with it. And Brayson was second. He went 6 feet one, and that's a personal best for him in there. Eli Hagelin had a personal best in the high jump also. He was in fourth at 5'9". And then again, good spots for those guys. They step up at the right time and doing it. Brayson Blake won the long jump. He was first at 20 feet, 6.5 inches. That is a personal best for him. I think he is 3.5 inches off state qualifying mark. So he's right where we need to have him. And with this next 2 weeks, that will be big for him. Eli Hagelin was eighth, 18 feet two. That's also a PR for him. Ethan Hersham was 17th at 15.5. Triple jump. Came down to a big dual meet there between the Van Epps kid from Princeburg and then Brayson. Those two went after each other, and just basically one got the lead, then the other one got the lead back. They went back and forth all the way through, and Van Epps had a big jump on his last one to overtake Brayson in there. But it was still good competition, good levels to go at. Brayson was second at 41.3. That's right. That's a personal best for him also. Eli Hagelin was seventh, and that's a personal best for him at 36.7.5. And then Keegan Wick surprised the heck out of everybody. He made the finals of the triple jump there. He ended up getting ninth at 35 feet, 6 inches. So scoring-wise, we ended up getting fourth on the boys. We were only 19 points out of first. So we're right in the thick of things. We just don't have that depth to really kind of go that next level. Lakeview won it with 105. Canby was second at 100. Tracy Milroy was third at 96. We were 86 and fourth. So that was, it was good to see the kids really excel and go with it. In the girls' race, we knew Canby was going to be clear. Like I said, we were just going to see what, hopefully we can make some noise a little bit and see what we can do. And we're young. We're young in a lot of spots. And I thought the kids really, really handled themselves well with it. Bailey Botham was our top girl in the 100-meter dash. She was ninth at 14.11. And Peyton Moe was right behind her at 14.12 in 10th spot. 200-meter dash, Maya Conroy was our top runner there. She was sixth at 28.70. And then eighth place was Bailey Botham at 28.92. Then in the 400-meter dash, Addie Tufto really, really popped a nice quarter out there. She unfortunately got stuck in no man's land having to race, but she really, really got a nice run in there. She was third overall at 102.74, and that's a PR for her. And then Micaiah Poos was also in eighth at 107.38. 800-meter run. Taylor Wood PR'd, and just she really hit another level in there, and that's where we're going to need to figure out where these girls can go. She was fourth overall at 238.35. I think her personal best is like a 242, so she cut off a nice chunk. Daytona Bissett was right behind her, went 242, 52, and that is 11 to 12 seconds off her personal best. So she stepped up really, really big. And then we threw a little seventh grader in her just to say, hey, what can you do? You know, where do you think you can be? And that was Harper Grunholz, and she went 254 in 13th spot. Mile, Chloe Gleggie, just continues to really, really impress. And you know, she cut another 14 seconds off her personal best in the mile. And she got fourth with 6:06.11. And in the 2 mile, she came back in the 2 mile. And she ended up getting second in 2 mile with a time of 14:20. And then Kendall Johnson was fifth at 16:32. 100-meter hurdles, Calista Borman was our top girl there. She was sixth at 18:54. The 300 hurdles, Addie Doctor was our top, and she was 12th at one flat. 4x1, just we've, you know, we're young. We rebuilt that whole 4x1 there, and they got a girl got in her way on the last leg, and the official didn't see it. That cutoff, we had a tough time getting her handoff in, but that's the way it goes, and we still handled ourselves. We got sixth there at 58:73. That was Peyton Moe, Morgan Hansen, Hannah Gochi, and Abigail Alonzo. 4x2, had to run in the slow heat to get a chance to get in there, and we ended up getting fourth from running the slow heat. And we ran a season best there at 156.17. Lexi Gleggie, Addie Tufto, Bailey Both, and Maya Conroy. 4x4, another one. We were in the slow heat again. We get third overall. So, you know, there was five teams in the first heat. The fast heat, we were the slow. And she got third there, 426.50. Addie Tufto, Micaiah Poos, Taylor Wood, and Maya Conroy. 4x8 was fifth. 11:24.41, Micaiah Poos, Daytona Bissett, and then we had Harper Grunholz in there, and then also Taylor Wood. And shot put, Cameron Lee won the shot put at 33 feet 3, and I think that's not her personal best, but in the discus they did. Paige Meyer was 10th at 26.7. So that was in our discus. That's where we PR'd, our throwers PR'd in the discus area. Paige Meyer was second, 98 feet, 8 inches. Cameron Lee was fourth at 88 feet, 2 inches. And again, PRs again. And then Isabel Long Henry was ninth at 78 feet, 10, also a PR. High jump, Callie Kahn really had her best jump. I'm thinking she's 4 inches higher than she's ever gone, the high jump. And she ended up going 4 feet 9 to finish into seventh. And then the long jump, Lainey Bartunica was our top jumper there. She was eighth at 13 feet 10. Triple jump, our top jumper there was Callie Kahn. Callie Kahn ended up getting ninth at 29 feet 7.5 inches. And then the scoring wise, like I said, it was kind of figuring where we're at with it. Canby won it pretty sound, like 174 points. They just got so many levels, that so much talent there. Princeburg was second at 71. McRae was at 70 and third. Tracy Miller was fourth at 66, and then we were fifth at 65. So we weren't at 6 points out of 8 points out of, you're getting that second spot. So I mean, a couple of flips here and there would have changed it. So, you know, I thought our kids really, really stepped up to the level. Just a goal, and every event pretty much was big marks for us, and hopefully it's a continuation for next week when we go into subsections.
Okay, speaking of that, when is it and where is it?
Subsections this year, I know it was on the calendar, it was listed as Benson, but it's subsections in Monty. It's a 4 o'clock start. I think field events will start at 4, and then running will start at 5. They will take the top 4 in the subsection will be automatic qualifiers, and then they'll take all the other 3 subsections and take the 4 performance list and get in. So we're going to try to qualify as many kids. And, you know, the points wise, yeah, we're going to score points, but we're going to see how many individuals and relays we can get into the section. That's our biggest goal we're shooting for, is to try to reload and set some things a little bit better.
Okay, John, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Wednesday and or Thursday. And the section is when then?
4 o'clock Thursday, Monty.
Yeah, but the section then.
Oh, section, excuse me. That is the week following Thursday down in Pipestone.
Okay. So we'll hear about the one in Montevideo first, and then we'll see how many are going to Pipestone the following week. That's John Sherb on boys and girls track. We'll take this break and have more of the Coach's Show after this.
It's the Memorial Day sales event at Heartland Motor Company, where everyone can save on a new or used vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Reserve your 2022 Chevy today or take advantage of our Heartland exclusive offer of up to $1,000 off all pre-owned vehicles priced over $10,000. Plus, there are GM discounts for military members.
Oh, yeah.
Book your service appointment online and save the date for our annual car show, September 17th during Prairie Harvest Fest. Because it's not just a Chevy, it's a Heartland Chevrolet. Visit heartlandmotor.com.
Find new roads at Heartland Motor Company in Morris.
Whether you're constantly bringing home fresh veggies from the farmer's market or stocking the freezer with frozen pizzas, Whirlpool has the right refrigerator model for your family. Their French door fridges keep fresh food at eye level and offer flexible storage options, while their side-by-side layout gives you similar storage space for fresh and frozen items. Whirlpool home refrigerators come in colors that are a perfect match for your home. Whether you're looking for stainless steel, sleek black, or classic white refrigerators, they have styles you'll love. Stop by Odin and Zimmelman TV Appliance and Sleep Center, downtown Madison today. Let them help you find the perfect refrigerator for your needs.
At Johnson Memorial Health Services, we have 8 primary care medical providers that deliver high-quality, compassionate health care for individuals of all ages. We offer convenient same-day and late-day appointments that work with your schedule. With telemedicine visits, you can even see your provider from the comfort of your own home. From routine checkups to more complex issues, our healthcare team is ready to serve you. For more information, visit our website at www.jmhsmn.org.
Hey Claire, guess what?
What, Peyton?
It's almost summer, you know what that means.
It's time for the Stampede to Fun.
Sure is. I love the Stampede to Fun. It's at Lock Apparel Fairgrounds in Madison on Wednesday, May 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. And it's completely free.
I love going to the Stampede to Fun. I wonder what things they will have there this year.
This year they will have yard games. Lots of yard games.
Yard games? That sounds so fun.
There will also be fire trucks, tractors, a bike rodeo, and so much more.
That sounds fun, but I wonder what they will have to eat.
They will have pulled turkey sandwiches, hot dogs, nachos, rip your floats, and cotton candy.
Awesome. I love cotton candy.
Well, let's make sure to go.
For sure. I'll tell all my friends.
Can't wait.
Wait, what if it rains?
Better bring an umbrella because this event is held in rain or shine.
See you on Wednesday, May 25th at Lock Apparel Fairgrounds from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Stampede to Fun.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with head coach Bart Hill of the Lock Apparel Valley baseball team. And Bart, you've had a busy week of games, but you're also you're getting a lot of phone calls about the baseball field.
Yeah, I mean, it's really neat that a lot of people are reaching out and caring about the baseball field. And as I keep reminding people, you know, nobody lived down there. Well, sometimes I do, but
yep, you do.
There's a lot of people that have a lot of damage are still dealing with it. The farmers are still trying to get a crop in their field. And so there are much worse things in life going on. But, you know, those that are passionate about baseball or care about baseball know that's important to any small town.
Okay, yeah, it sure is. Well, we'll talk about the GoFundMe page in a little bit here, but let's talk about some of your games you got in this week.
Yeah, we played Mineota, went down there Monday. They were having a decent season. I think they were 6-5 at the time we played them. Talked to their coach. They had a lot of one-run losses of their 5 losses. I think 4 were by one run. And, you know, we jumped out of the gates early. We scored 2 runs in the first inning, 4 in the second inning, and we were up 6-0. And then we kind of went on cruise control and only scored 1 more run and I think had 1 more hit the rest of the way. But, you know, I guess that was enough. So we collected a total of 7 runs on 8 hits. We had 1 error. Landon Sherman, the leadoff spot, was 1-for-5. He scored a couple runs, had a couple stolen bases. Caden Fernholz was 1-for-4. Blake Wilschlager, 2-for-3. He had a double, big 2-run double in the first inning that got us on the board. He had 3 RBI. Avery Whitnable was 2-for-3. He had an RBI. Dane Mortensen was 1-for-3. He had an RBI. Derek Molden didn't have a hit, but he had a ground ball that scored a run, so he had an RBI. Ethan Schomer collected his first hit as an Eagle, and he was 1-for-4 with an RBI. And probably the story in the game, though, was our pitching. Avery Whitnable started on the mound, and he threw a complete game. Gave up just 3 hits, 2 runs. They were unearned. We had an error in the fourth when Mineota scored their 2 runs, and he did not walk a batter and struck out 12. So that was a great performance by Avery, you know, over a pretty good team, and it was a really nice night out. So that kept us going in the win column, and then we headed to Ruthven to take on the RTR Knights Thursday night.
All right. And, yeah, you went Ruth, and they got a good town team ball there, too, and they got the field right there in that small, tiny town of Ruthin.
Yeah, it used to be a softball field. They backed up the fences, and they converted to a baseball field. They've redone a little press box. It's not big, but it was nice. They put in a nice, real nice batting cage. They extended their dugout, so it is a nice little ballpark, you know, and when they do the town ball segment on the news, you know, that's what it's all about, those little towns, and they love to watch their baseball. So we went down there, and had won five games in a row, and unfortunately for us, they made it six in a row. But it was just, like I told my son last night, I talked to him, if you are not on a fan of, or if you don't care who wins that game, it was really a fun game to watch because there's so many exciting plays. We jumped out to a two-run lead right away in the top of the first. They came back with three. We came back with three runs in the top of the second. They came back with three in the bottom of the second. And all of those runs scored by both teams were with two outs. So you think you got the game or the inning under control, and all of a sudden, you know, people are scoring with two outs, and then we kind of went into a lull a little bit. They scored a couple of runs in the fourth inning, and then eventually they were ahead 6-8 going in the seventh, and Avery Whitnable hit a two-run triple that tied the game up at 8 apiece, and, you know, we didn't push ahead the go-ahead run. And then the bottom of the seventh inning, it started out with a walk, an error, a hit batter, and eventually a sacrifice fly, and Ruthin, or RTR, won that game 9-8. But it was a really fun game to be a part of.
Yeah. I understand Caden Fernals hit his first career home run.
He did, and that was well hit. It wasn't by no means because it was a short fence or the wind was blowing up 40 miles an hour, but it was a nice home run, and that, you know, got us back in the lead there in the second inning, but that was short-lived. And so we ended up collecting 9 hits in that game, which is, you know, usually we're around the 5 or 6 mark, so to collect 9 was pretty good. And Landon Sherman was 1 for 4. He scored a couple runs, had an RBI. Caden Fernholz was 2 for 4. In addition to his 2-run home run, he also had an RBI single for 3 total. Blake Wilschlager was 1 for 4. Avery Whitnable was 1 for 3. Like I mentioned, he had that 2-run triple. Dane Mortensen was 1 for 4. He had an RBI. Derek Molden was 1 for 3. He had an RBI. TJ Mitchell was 1 for 3, and Caden Allpress was 1 for 3. So 8 of the 9 starters collected at least one hit in that game.
Oh, nice.
So that was really nice to see, yeah.
Yep.
And then pitching, Blake started, and he did not look like himself. The ball was kind of flying all over the place. Not sure what was going on, but he only lasted 4 innings because his pitch count was near 100. And he gave up a total of the 8 runs. 5 of them were earned. He gave up 6 in the first 2 innings alone. Gave up just 4 hits, but he did walk 4 batters, and he hit a batter, and he did have 8 strikeouts. Joseph Ramsbacher came in, and we had to hold him to under 30 pitches because him and Caden Allpress will be pitching tonight. So he came in, did a nice job through 1 2/3 innings, gave up no runs and no walks. He gave up a couple hits, but, you know, they didn't score, struck out a batter. Then Caden Allpress, kind of a tough luck loss in that game. He just recorded, you know, 2 outs in that bottom of the 8th inning and didn't give up a hit. He gave up 1 run. It was unearned because of the error, and he walked 1 batter and hit 1 batter, and both of those came into play in the 7th inning. So that sits us at 9-4. We're 6-3 in the conference, and we have 3 games left.
All right. And, we're actually recording this on Friday before the Benson game, so we'll get the score as soon as we're done here. We'll pass along the score of Friday night. But Saturday, the reason you're recording here is because you're busy Saturday morning.
Yeah, we're going to head over to the Rosen to play. We've got KMS, the number 3 ranked team in the state. They're still undefeated. They're coming to Rosen to take us on. And, you know, that was that game that was scheduled originally for last Thursday, yeah. Paul, and you were going to do that game on the radio. Everyone was excited because we were probably seeing the matchup of the 2 best lefties in the area, and that did not happen. I don't know if it's going to happen tomorrow. We're dealing with an injury to one of our pitchers, so we're going to get through tonight and take it one game at a time, and then we have an important matchup with RCW at home, wherever that may be, on Monday. And then our end of the regular season is concluded, and we wait for our seedings and the postseason, which will be a week from today.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report on the baseball team. And I just want to mention that there is a GoFundMe page set up for donations to redo the Madison baseball field after it was destroyed by high winds last week. And we appreciate everybody that's already donated on the GoFundMe page. You still can do that. How do they search it?
Yeah, you could search me on Facebook. I made a post as well. And then if you go on GoFundMe, you can find an organization too. The Madison Baseball Association has created a page as well on Facebook that has the link for that. And it also has some of the pictures of the destruction, you know, and you know, they're in the process of taking the towers down. They've removed a lot of the debris from the dugouts and other things. And so if you drive by, you know, this weekend, you might think there's not much done to it, but then you got to realize what's all missing. So that's been really good. We've been reaching out to a lot of different organizations for help. They're giving us some good ideas, and we're kind of waiting to get some finalized plans as far as, you know, what kind of insurance money we're talking and what is covered, what's not covered, what are we going to have to fundraise for ourselves. But here's a kind of cool story, Paul. So the sixth graders every year do their little business unit, and they have their cookie sales, and they donated this year's profit to the baseball field.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So, well, yeah, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. I do have to mention, too, before we get going, you know, like the Appleton now, like the freshmen are playing out at Appleton today against Montevideo, and then the JV is going to play over there on Monday. So we got to give a shout-out to Andrew Schmidt and the Drugsmas and the All Presses and whoever has been taking care of that field, too, because they welcomed us in. And I, not by choice, I failed to mention him last week. I said there's other towns like Rosen that were reaching out, you know, helping us get these games completed. And I completely forgot about Appleton. It was not done intentionally. So, you know, because of that field as well, we're getting in these other games that we don't know where we would have played. Right. So it takes a lot of people to make it work when something bad happens, and that's what's happening.
That's right. And also, we should probably mention John Lauritsen from WCCO-TV. He'll be here Monday to cover these stories. So that'll probably be on WCCO-TV Monday at 5 and 6, John told me. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, the more coverage you can get, you know, there's still a lot of people that didn't realize what happened. And we have to stress, too, Paul, that it's not just a baseball thing. Obviously, there's, you know, my wife and I were driving around the country this morning, and holy moly, there's a lot of damage, you know, and that's their livelihood. And so we are a baseball organization, and of course we have a passion for baseball, and so does Madison, but that's just one drop in a big bucket of all this damage.
That's right. All right, good luck today over in Rosen against a very good KMS team, and pull off an upset.
Hey, we'll do our darndest.
All right, head coach Bart Hill of the Eagles, and we'll take a break and come back with more to Coach the Show after this.
Just back here at the studio, just to add on, the Eagles did play Benson yesterday out at the school, and I think the ninth graders were in Appleton playing Montevideo. I have no score on that, but yesterday the Eagles defeated Benson by the score of 11-0 to raise their overall record to 10-4, which will help for seeding purposes. Landon Sherm went 2-for-4 with an RBI. Blake Wolschlager went 1-for-3 with an RBI. Avery Whitnabel went 1-for-2 with an RBI. Caden Allpress 1-for-2, 2 runs scored. Caden Mortensen got his first varsity hit and drove in a run and scored 2 runs and walked twice. And Ethan Schomer got a hit with a double with 2 RBIs and scored a run. So pitching, Caden Albrecht was the winner, going 4 innings, 1 hit, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. And Davis Patzer had his initial varsity. Well, he threw an inning against Minnesota on Monday and then threw 1 inning yesterday with 2 strikeouts, no hits. So good job for them, and they're playing in Rosen at noon today against KMS. More of the Culture Show after this.
The Madison Chiropractic Center is open Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Tuesday and Thursday, 8 to noon. Dr. Clint Bond offers the latest in chiropractic care. Call for an appointment, 320-598-3089. That's 320-598-3089 for the Madison Chiropractic Center. There's no need to travel far for professional chiropractic treatment. You'll find it right downtown Madison, Minnesota. See Dr. Clint Bond at the Madison Chiropractic Center, 508 West 4th Street, just east of Madison City Hall. Canby Meat Center, right downtown Canby, Minnesota, is open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., Saturday, 8 to noon. This week, USDA Choice boneless beef peeled top sirloin steak, $6.99 a pound. You'll find USDA Choice boneless beef brisket, $4.99 a pound. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Bottom Round Steak at $5.49 a pound. Pick up some Center Cut Boneless Pork Chops at $1.99 a pound. And Jimmy Dean's Applewood Smoked Bacon, $4.99 for a 16-ounce package. That's Canby Meat Center. Call them at 507-223-5292. Like them on Facebook.
With all life's uncertainties, you want a reliable partner with you, rain or shine. When it comes to nitrogen, there's a new, predictable choice. Pivot BioProven 40, the tiny nitrogen-producing microbes that have a big impact on your bottom line. Get a reliable partner. Get the new nitrogen, Pivot BioProven 40. And now you can turn to our local trusted partner, Scott Sieg in Madison, Minnesota. Call 320-226-4303.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team thanks the Dugout Club's home run sponsors for their support of $500 or more. Thank you to
Madison Chiropractic Center, Ludvixen Tiling, Clement Electric, Milan Fire Department, Ridgeview Seeds, Bex Dealers, Luke Oy and Aaron Tastel, Appleton VFW.
Lacaparo Lake Association, Madison's Hometown Lodge and Happy Hour Sports Bar, Appleton Sportsman's Club, Martinson Foundation, Warren Trigested Pioneer Seeds, Milan Community Foundation.
Milan American Legion, A Country Farm Credit Services, KLQ Radio 92.1 FM, Farmers Co-op Elevator, Bellingham, Shibboleth Township, Appleton Community Foundation.
Joe and Deb Schreier, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Ridge Runners, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Mike and Deanne Munsterman, we thank you and all our sponsors for supporting our softball program.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Let's talk Lacaparo Valley softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. The girls sounded good on the commercial there, didn't they?
They did. I appreciate you you getting them in there to acknowledge our home run sponsors, Captains Addie Bond, Tori Bungarten, Taylor Kittleson, and Riley Swatsky. So, yeah, they sounded great, and we really appreciate that support and the opportunity to push those home run sponsor names out there before these pregame shows by that radio now and also hopefully during some playoffs a little bit.
All right, real good. Well, a busy week for you guys. It ended with a Camden Conference Championship for the second week, or yeah, second year in a row.
Second year in a row, yeah. Very exciting for the girls. They've had a heck of a season and really just done an outstanding job. So, like we said, goal one accomplished, but there's bigger goals that we've set for ourselves. Not to take anything away from it, because it's a competitive conference and we're very proud of it. But this team has a lot of potential, so we're striving for bigger things here.
All right, real good. Well, let's back up to last Saturday. I believe you were in Marshall, weren't you?
We were. So we got an opportunity to play on a field in a complex that we hope to be playing on deep into the playoffs, which was pretty exciting. We saw Red Rock Central in our first game and really honestly kind of outpowered them. Taylor Shelstead was in the circle for us and just dominated. She had 7 strikeouts and 2 walks and threw a one hitter, so was pretty untouchable for them. As far as our hitters were concerned, some of our leading hitters, Riley Swatsky was 2 for 3. Taylor Kittleson just torched the ball. She was 4 for 4, and Isabel Gertis was 2 for 3. Ayanna Gibson, Claire Borsted, and Riley Lund also, and Tori Bungarten also had hits for the girls. So I'm very aggressive on the base paths and just really proud of locking that first one up. Then we moved on. In the second game, we played Redwood Valley. Weren't really sure what either one of these teams would have, and Riley was in the circle there. She threw a two-hitter there, giving up 1 unearned run, 7 strikeouts, and no walks in 4 innings. So, again, kind of overpowered them. Our hitting was hot. Taylor Shelstead was 3 for 3. And, man, if you've ever got a chance to see somebody fly around the bases, she is fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
She had a couple RBIs. Riley Lund was 1 for 2 with a couple RBIs. Tori Bungarten was 3 for 4 with 3 RBIs. And Taylor Kittleson remains on fire, going 2 for 4 with 2 RBIs as well. Maddie Matthews was 1 for 3. And Kendall Shelstead was 2 for 2 with 2 RBIs. So really just hot at the plate and really overpowered the competition on that particular Saturday. So With that said, then we moved into a pretty intense week, and we found out early we were in a dogfight with RTR for this conference. They were upset by McCray, I believe, was the team that knocked them off.
And that's right.
And so we ended up having a one game lead. We were tied coming into this final week of the season, and so we knew that we just had to take care of business, and that we did. So on Tuesday we went to McCray, to Raymond, and did a pretty nice job. We had Riley in the circle. Swatsky, she threw a two hitter with five strikeouts and one walk. And our sticks were pretty hot. We played five innings of ball here. It was kind of a rainy, dreary day, but Taylor Shelstead was 2 for 2. Tori Bungarten, 2 for 4. Taylor Kittleson, 2 for 3. And then Riley Lund, Riley Swatsky, Kendall Shelstead, Ayanna Gibson all had a couple of hits for the Eagles as well. So, we had a couple of some big extra base hits. Tori Bungarten and Ayanna Gibson each had doubles, and then Riley Swatsky had a triple, and Taylor Shelstead had 2 triples.
Wow.
And so she, like I said, she flies. She is, when we get her on the base paths, it wreaks havoc for the opposing team. So, a nice team victory there. And then we went into game two and needed to keep that momentum going. And again, kind of a dreary day, so we wanted to get out of there early. And we ended up taking that one 12-2. Taylor Shelstead threw in that game outstanding, threw a one-hitter, gave up 2 runs, one of them earned, 2 strikeouts and 3 walks. So girls put the ball in play, but our defense is outstanding. They make plays. They step up in big moments. So, and then Taylor not only did it in the circle, but she also was 4 for 4 in that game, scoring 3 runs. Riley Lund was 3 for 3 with 4 RBIs. Riley Swatsky was 1 for 3. Taylor Kittleson 2 for 3, and Claire Borstead 3 for 3. So, some big hits there. And Taylor Kittleson had another double. We kind of call her the double machine. I mean, she is pounding balls into the gaps and ends up on second base, which is great because a lot of times our top hitters are on the bags, and so that's nice to have that power production sitting there. Taylor Shelstead also had a double. So just a solid win right there. So we got out of there in 5 innings with a 10-run rule victory. And that led us, so at that point we're sitting at 16-2 for the season, and it led us to our final doubleheader of the season against Dawson Boyd, rival right up the road here. And, I think we came to understand that they've got a nice little team. Their record doesn't maybe show their ability.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
they gave us a run for our money yesterday, for sure. Mm-hmm. And we did. We had Riley throw both games. In the first game, she threw a one-hitter with 13 strikeouts and no walks. So she did a great job in the circle and really kept people off the bags. But they did the same thing to us. Their pitcher, Olivia Haas, she held us down to 8 hits. And for our team, that's not an easy thing to do. And we only scored 5 runs. So in that game, we had our leading hitters were Taylor Kittleson going 2 for 4 with a couple RBIs, and Isabel Gerdes went 2 for 4. And then Taylor Shelstead, Riley Lund, Riley Swatsky, and Kendall Shelstead each had hits for the Eagles as well. So we got out of there with a 5-0 victory, and we were kind of hoping for a little bit more energy in the second game. And what we got was a dogfight. And we did have Riley throw that one again. This one was to kind of close out the goal of the conference championship. It was a two-hitter that she threw with 1 earned run, 13 strikeouts, and 1 walk. I told you on the radio, I didn't think was quite as sharp as she's been, but statistically, I guess she got it done. So, but also have to say that her defense made some really nice plays behind her. it was kind of a special moment with our seniors, where she got a little flustered, and so we went out and we chatted a little bit, and she had hit a, a girl or two, and Addie Bond just says, just told her, hey, don't worry, put it, let them put it in play, we've got your back. And the irony behind that is, like, the next pitch or one of the next pitches, a girl hits a little Texas leaguer to Addie. Addie ranges back, makes the play, and we get to come in and get out of a little bit of a pickle in that inning. And so I just felt like the senior leadership there and the togetherness was, it was a pretty special moment. Kind of makes the hair on my arm stand up a little bit.
Right.
But that victory was a 5-1 victory and earned us the outright conference championship. So really proud of these girls.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's second year in a row, Camden Conference Championship. And Scott, the Section 3A brackets were released. Tell us about it. You got the number one seed.
Yeah, we did. And it was a unanimous selection, which I think the girls have earned it. So we will end up seeing the eighth seed, so the low seed in the first round here, which is Ortonville, at 2:30 on Tuesday, May 24th. So, and then the game following that at 4 o'clock will be McCray and Benson. And then this first round is single elimination. So if you lose, you go home, you're done, the season's over. And then the winners of those two games will play at 5:30 out at Lacaparo Valley. And once you get to that 5:30 game, it becomes, the full tournament becomes a double elim tournament at that time.
Okay. Yeah, the other game out at Lacaparo at 4 o'clock is what? McCray?
McCray and Benson.
Benson, yep. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's best to stay in the winner's bracket, right?
Well, that's the goal, you know, is to keep arms fresh. Hopefully the bats are hot, and hopefully the defense is able to make plays. And if we can stay in that winner's bracket, we'll put ourselves in a good opportunity anyway to get really deep into the playoffs. So. Right.
What, do you have the bracket there for the games in Murdoch?
I do, yep. Okay. So on Tuesday, KMS is the two seed, so they will host in Murdoch, and they'll play Dawson Boyd. And I think that'll be a dogfight. Those two split here just recently, each winning a game in the conference against each other. And then at 4 o'clock, YME plays BBE. And I don't really know anything about BBE, but YME's got a nice young team. And then the winners of those two games will advance to a 5:30 game in Murdoch. And then whoever wins in that and on Tuesday, whoever ends up staying in the winner's bracket on Tuesday in both of these areas will face off in Marshall on the 28th, which is Saturday.
That's an 11 o'clock start, it looks like.
That's an 11 o'clock start, yes.
Yep. So, yeah, good. Well, on the south half, looks like Edgerton, Southwest Minnesota Christian got the number one seed, huh?
Right. Yep. And they're always a talented team here. Trying to take a peek at everything.
Yep. And then Benson and BBE, Belgrade, Bruton, El Rosa, they're new to the section this year, aren't they?
They are. Yep. Okay. We haven't seen them before. I know we played Benson last year, and I think we won like 8-1 or something like that, but they were a competitive team and a quality team. I'm thinking they graduated some seniors maybe because their record doesn't show that they're as competitive this year. And who knows? I mean, I know really very little about them.
Okay. Well, we do know you're going to be playing at Lacaparo. You get the home game there, a couple home games, hopefully, and continue on in the section tournament and get to Marshall. That's the goal, right?
That's always the goal, the last team standing. So, yeah.
Wasn't that the goal for the girls, to get to Marshall and play in Marshall?
That's right. It's definitely attainable, but, you know, we got to throw strikes, we got to make plays, and we got to hit the ball hard. So if those things happen, I think we'll be a tough team to beat.
We'll see you Tuesday out at Lacaparo Valley, Scott.
Yeah, you make sure you wear that Lacaparo softball cap.
I appreciate that. Thank you for the Lacaparo softball team for picking up a cap for me. It looks sharp.
You bet, and you look good in it.
All right. All right, that's Scott Swatsky, head coach of the Lacaparo Valley softball team. We'll take a break and be back with more of the Coaches Show right after this.
It's Beef Month, and Amy at the Meat Center in Appleton says, spring is a thrill, and it's time to grill. The Meat Center in Appleton has a large variety of beef patties and brats for summer grilling. It will be a great grilling season, and the Meat Center in Appleton has specials for it. See Amy today.
Back here at the Coach's Show, talking boys tennis with Austin Ireland. And boy, you finished out your season with a busy schedule there, Austin. Fire away.
Yeah, we were sure were. Saturday, we took on Pipestone. It was at Lacaparo there. Ended up losing that one 5-2. Luke Stock picked up the win at four singles. Matt Martinson picked up the win at third singles. You know, they both played well. At second singles, Liam Risch, he lost 7-5, 7-5. That was a close matchup. It was kind of a slobber knocker. You know, back and forth. But that kid with that Ryan Woodbury kid, he's just a good receiver, good wide receiver, and just a good athlete. And sometimes when it's so evenly matched, you know, usually the better hand, you know, goes to the better athlete. And then in one single, Jackson Muir lost to Tony Wacker. Jackson came back that second set. He was up 5-4, but ended up losing that one 7-5. And then all of our doubles, lost. Levine Gavin, they lost 6-2, 6-1. Wyatt and Nate Gruhl, they won their first set and got punched in the mouth in that second set. And then they played a third set tiebreaker, ended up losing that one 6-10. And then Gar and Nahr, you know, Garrett Costin and Gunnar Olsen, they lost their first set 7-5 and then 6-2 in that second set. So, yeah, they ended up losing that one to Pipestone. That's a close one. But they got six seniors on the team.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Kind of been a scene for a lot of guys. That's nothing compared to our next opponent, Laverne. They've won the section the past about 8 years. I mean, they're just the Nick Saban dynasty, you know. They have 10 seniors on their program.
Oh, okay.
All their guys, you know, they have like four or five guys about every weekend. They go just to Sioux Falls and they hit in indoor facility in Sioux Falls. So that's kind of nice luxury to have. I suppose that's only maybe a 20-mile trot, you know. So that's a nice facility. And they ended up just kind of spanking us. They're number one seed. They only have Laverne only has one loss on the season. That is to an out-of-state opponent. I believe it was Sioux Falls Lincoln, I believe it was. Yeah, so Jackson Beer lost to Pierce Cunningham 6-1, 6-1. 6-1, 6-1 was the scores for Liam Risch's match and Matt Martinson's match. Luke Stock got double bagel there, 6-0, 6-0. One doubles, lost 6-2, 6-2. Two doubles, 6-0, 6-3. And Garnard, 6-1, 6-0. So that was, that's a very tough team. They are the number one seed in our section. Monday is a day a lot of us like to forget. We kind of had a case of the Mondays, and I think someone could get beat up for saying something like that, but it's true. We're supposed to go to New Orleans Spicer. I took the little short bus. I was going east there on Highway 40 off 119, and bus had a flat tire.
Oh.
And then, so, you know, I had to wait for the track bus. So we get, you know, so I, all right, guys, tell your parents, you know, that, hey, we're going to be an hour late. And, you know, of course, after we use the track bus and we get to New London and everything, all the parents are sitting there. It's like, you guys did not tell your parents at all. Like, oh, come on now. And we just didn't play very well either. You know, that was the worst thing. You know, on Mondays have been kind of we got a case of the Mondays, it seems like. So we got losing that one 7-0. That's nice. Everyone came along for that matchup though. So after junior high and JV and got some experience. A lot of close matchups, though. I mean, especially our one doubles, Levi Olsen, Gavin Stolz lost to a couple of giants, a bunch of tall kids, 6'2 and 5'7. Just a bunch of tall basketball players from New London Spicer. Two doubles, Wyatt Wiebe and Nate Gruhl lost another close one, 6'2, 6'4. And Costin and Olsen, at third doubles, losing 6'2, 6'3. Luke Stock had four singles and was losing there, 6'0, 6'0. Matt Bartson losing 6-2, 6-2. Liam Risch losing 3-6, 2-6, and 2-6, 3-6. They have to be losing a catch meeting. So that was on Monday. Tuesday we had a practice. We had good practice, and oof, we got rained out. And then Wednesday we had a bunch of knuckleheads getting in trouble, you know, and just, not unfortunate. And then Thursday we get to end the regular season out like I said, the bang. We went to the University of Minnesota Morris. We took on Osaka Silver Streaks, and it was a good day. It was calm. You know, wasn't hot, wasn't cold, and it wasn't there wasn't any sun, so it wasn't like the sun wasn't in your eyes. So that was an absolute perfect day for tennis as we played Osakis. So Jackson Buehrer took on Isaac Maddock. Isaac, he's kind of the reason. His dad's the coach, and it's the newer program. So Isaac Maddock, he played the MVP of our conference, and he beat him 6-0, 6-1. So Isaac Maddock is an absolute beast. That was a lot of fun to watch those two go at it. Liam Risch beat Bryce Mullen 6-3, 6-3. Nice job with Liam. He's kind of just being a veteran out there. Levi Olsen, we moved him back to singles there because his doubles partner was gone. So we put him at third singles there, and he took on Tyler Sear, and he won 6-2, 6-3. And Matt Martinson defeated Michael Moore 6-2 and 7-6 and 7-3 in that tiebreaker for the second set. Wyatt Wiebe and Nate Gruhl, they usually played second doubles. They moved up, played one doubles, and they lost 6-2, 6-4. Garrett Kasten and Gunnar Olsen did a nice job there at second doubles there, 6-1, 6-2 with a nice win. And Luke Stock and Tony Reap played a third doubles matchup. They won 6-2, 6-0. So nice job to get a win at the end of the regular season. But now it's do or die time, baby.
Okay, and that
we got playoffs next week. You know
that starts with the team, correct?
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So Monday we are lower seed, so we will go to Granite Falls, take on YME, the Singer B. That'll be at 4:30.
Okay.
If we win that, then we go to Redwood in semifinals and finals. And then Thursday is individual portion.
Okay.
And that's also in Redwood Falls.
Okay. Okay. Well.
So, yeah, it's been good. Hopefully, we can get going into the following week.
Yeah. Well, you certainly saw some improvement throughout the season with your team, and let's carry you through into the section tournament, starting with the team part this week. And we'll hear.
Oh yeah,
all,
we know they've happened. Yeah.
And we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Yep, sounds good. We call it, baby.
Okay, that's Austin Ireland on boys tennis. We'll take this break and finish out another culture show after this.
No movies at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota this weekend. The Grand will be closed Friday, May 20th through Monday, May 23rd. Open again with two new movies starting on the 27th. Again, the Grand in Madison will be closed this weekend, the 20th through the 23rd.
You name it, we design it. Did you know Appleton Building Center offers design and planning of your home projects so you can be sure every square foot is used wisely? Not only home projects, but your farm building projects as well. Appleton Building Center takes the stress out of building. At Appleton Building Center, we order brands you want and pledge friendly service, customer satisfaction, and fair prices. Check out Appleton Building Center's website at appletonbuildingcenter.com or call Ryan or Tom at 320-289-2714. Building today for tomorrow's needs. Appleton Building Center, Appleton, Minnesota.
Back here at the studio, don't forget today at high noon, KMS against Lacaparo Valley at the Rosen Baseball Field with the JV to follow. Got time for three quick dad jokes. What has more letters than the alphabet? Of course, it's the post office. And what do you call a poor Santa Claus? St. Nicholas. And finally, I don't trust those trees. They seem kind of shady. Well, once again, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you do not have to play a sport to be one.